Anyway, so those are modern things that are going on today that are we are soon going to face. What happens when there's no more petrodollar? Why is the White House put up all this high-tech fencing around it and a razor wire and everything, anticipating what? Mass riots? Are people going to be rioting in Washington, D.C. or coming to Washington, D.C. and massively rioting and trying to storm the White House? You know, and that includes monitoring 24/7. What's the government anticipating? Unless they already know what's going to happen. I think this year, 2024, again, the 23rd year of Jeremiah, this is it, folks. And I don't like it either. I don't like it. Maybe God will call an audible because he's interested in souls being saved. If that's our mission, if enough of us pray for interceding souls and witnessing as best we can, you know, he might delay that 23rd year into a 24th year, or 25th. Maybe the Deagle report for 2025 will not come true. Maybe he'll give us a reprise, a small season to bring in more souls. Because once that hammer comes down, folks, what will be will be. There's no turning back. And if we are here and the collapse happens, it's going to be a rude awakening. And for those of us who understand what's going on and understand what to anticipate, even those who have bought up gold and silver thinking that, oh, we've got gold and silver and this and that and other thing. And it's going to be uncharted territory. I don't care if you got a 100-year supply of food on hand, independent electrical generation and everything like these deep underground labs, you're uncharted territory here. You think you've covered all the bases, but as we see with these disasters already this year and previous years, how many people burned out, flooded out, tornadoed out, hurricaned out, were preppers, covered all the bases, and now they've got nothing, okay? Mother Nature can throw you a curveball, and it's then. I fully anticipate that the government will find an excuse. I mentioned this before. Bird flu infecting the milk supply. Bird flu infecting cows, chickens, etc. Giving the government carte blanche to just show up, black vans, white vans, whatever, unmarked vans, to slaughter cows, the cattle herds. Just get out there and just gun them all to death. With no compensation to the farmer or the rancher. I think back in Britain, England, they did something back years ago, 10, 20 years ago. There was something that was infecting the cow herds over there and worried about whether it come over here or not. But the government just go in and slaughter the cattle and not compensate the farmers. Britainers live through that, you know, because what they don't have domestically, they buy internationally. But with the United States case, tomorrow, the end of the petrodollar. And more nations are seeing the handwriting on the wall, and they're joining BRICS and divesting themselves of the Federal Reserve notes. That means, dear fellow American, you could have $1 million of cold, hard cash on your kitchen table. And you won't be able to buy one egg, one muffin, of anything from A to Z from international markets because they won't want your money. What do you have that they might want? Nothing. Nothing. All you have to offer them is Federal Reserve notes, which they don't want anymore. So what happens when we can't trade, when we can't buy beef from Brazil anymore? What happens when we can't buy eggs from somewhere else? What happens when we can't get chocolate from the Dutch anymore? When we can't buy tomatoes from Mexico anymore? Guess what? You starve. It's all by plan. The takedown of Esau against his brother Jacob. But we read today about what God's going to do to the Edomites unless they repent unto the Lord Jesus Christ and make good on what they've stolen, to repay, to restore the pledge. That's another requirement that God has, is to restore the pledge. There's people all around this nation that are hurting, people all over the world that are hurting, and all these few select powers that be got to have it all for themselves when they could help the poor. So like Idaho, for example, government of Idaho this past week decided that they own all the water, the groundwater, not the farmers, not the ranchers, not the ag people. The government does. Government of Idaho. So now the very dire possibility that the farmers, ranchers, ag producers in Idaho will be denied groundwater. Well, Idaho is a major potato producer. I like potatoes. I imagine you like potatoes. Well, where are you going to get your potatoes from? If the Idaho potato farmers go out of business because they can't get the water to grow their potatoes, where are you going to get your potatoes from? Mexico, they don't want our money. Venezuela, they don't want our money. Canada, they don't want our money. Nobody wants our money anymore because it's worthless. So where are you going to get your potatoes? I guess you're going to have to live without potatoes. No potato chips, no potato products of any kind, potato flakes, no potatoes. So that's what Idaho is doing. In an attempt to go green. So more and more, folks, the war on agriculture in this country, there is a reasonable, logical way around this, but they don't want reasonable, logical solutions. They want to put us all dead. So the government of Idaho wants their people dead, the farmers and ranchers. By killing them off, they kill off the residents, the citizens of Idaho. And it just makes it easier for the communist Chinese to invade and take over the Western United States, doesn't it? You think President Biden, you know, all his great, you know, setting aside millions of acres of U.S. Here and there into protected environmental zones, you know, to protect the environment. Yay, yay, it protect the environment from those ruthless companies that would mine and drill for oil and everything and ruin the landscape. And so there was a massive expanse of land. I don't recall if it was like the Navajos or somebody. They were in celebration that Biden set aside a whole chunk of land as a preserve. They're not doing, Biden didn't do that for you, Navajoans. He did it for the Chinese. He didn't do it for you, Alaska. He did it for the Chinese and the Russians, maybe more for the Russians that are going to take Alaska back by force. So then all the oil reserves of Alaska that could liberate the United States free from the rest of the world is going to go to Russia and not us. Biden isn't doing this to preserve nature. He's doing it to preserve the natural wealth of these areas for these respective countries when they take it over and kill us all off. These are very evil, cunningly evil, vile people taking over our government from the federal government, state governments, county governments, city governments. Very wicked people. But we can read again in scriptures what God's going to do to those wicked, evil people in the end. So they'll get a temporary victory from their perspective on things, but payback's going to be a big, you know what, on those people. Let's see. I want to read through an article by Paul McGuire. Now he has his take on the Tower of Babel. So when I read through his article here, that's his take on the Tower of Babel and how it factors in and his understanding of things. But he's a Christian. He's a deep dive researcher and author and everything. So maybe some of you have heard about him or read some of his material. Paul McGuire, this is from February 10th, 2014. There are two kinds of history, the history you have been taught and the secret history that has been hidden from you. like what we've been talking about, the Tower of Babel, the real story about Tower of Babel is the hidden history, folks. In Aldous Huxley's novel, Brave New World, there was a scientific utopia ruled by an elite who genetically bred both superior and inferior races. Sounds like today, doesn't it? The superior races and those above them were given access to higher levels of education and knowledge, the idea being that there exists a genetically superior race or bloodline, and we know who they think they are, right? With advanced intelligence that has the right to rule and control the masses. Yes, indeed, we know who they are. They've declared it for themselves. This concept of a scientific elite or elite who rule the masses goes all the way back to Atlantis. Now, again, this is his writing, his understanding. I might have my own take on some of this and that I'll maybe expound upon next time. According to the philosopher Plato, whose works like The Republic are widely read by the ruling elite of our day, Atlantis was a highly advanced scientific and technological civilization that was ruled by 10 god kings. That's for sure. That's indisputable right there. There are a number of, and I would suggest that the 10 god kings is what Revelation chapter 17 is talking about the 10 kings that will rule, come to rulership, and give their dominion, their rulership over to the beast, the Antichrist. So that means that Atlantis will rise again. And I'll tell you where it's going to happen scripturally. There are a number of scholars, okay, who believe that these god kings were genetically superior because they were the product of interspecies breeding between an alien race and human women, or the product of breeding between fallen angels and human women. That's indeed the case, even when you read the story and interpret it. One theory suggests that Atlantis was a pre-flood civilization visited by ETs who not only mated with human women, but passed on to mankind highly advanced technology and science. The other theory suggests that sons of God, which literally means fallen angels, when translated from Hebrew in Genesis chapter 6, mated with human women and also passed on advanced technology and science to mankind before the flood. Both the theories are similar, and the basic difference is identity and origin of these beings. Okay, that's, I would agree there. One could dismiss these accounts as mere legends, except for the fact that we have no explanation for the development of the advanced science and technologies that existed before the flood. Yet there is real evidence. What Paul might not understand at the point that he researched and wrote this article is that Adam, and what a lot of Christians still don't understand, what I've been talking about here and there on the show, Adam and Eve, do you think they were, God created them at 8% DNA activation and only two strands? Okay. No, he created them at 100% DNA activation at 12 strands, each strand representing in frequency vibration what would later become the 12 stones of the 12 tribes of Israel. Does that ring a bell to anybody? It's a big tie-in right here. Adam and Eve were already of the 12 stone covenant. It was embedded in their DNA. The 12 stone covenant and the seed of the promise of that 12 stone covenant was embedded in their very DNA. And remember, DNA is not just the physical traits of our physical bodies. There's DNA that does relate to our physical bodies and physical senses. There's DNA that works with the soul realm, and there's DNA that works with the spiritual realm. So imagine what 100% 12-stranded DNA would be like. So yet there's real evidence that such technologies existed. So mankind, even on his own accord, could have developed these technologies without any influence of the serpent seed or of the watchers, could have developed technologies even in certainly in unfallen, had Adam and Eve remained unfallen, think of what they could have achieved technologically. But even in their fallen state, if the serpent seed had not had happened through Cain, had the watchers not come down in Genesis chapter 6, mankind was fully equipped to do things very well on their own. So what was the motivation for the serpent to begat Cain was the rights of the firstborn. Unto the rights of the firstborn, falsely believing that he and his race, and ultimately Lucifer, would also achieve the seed of the promise. But they did not achieve the seed of the promise. They only achieved the rights of the firstborn. And you remember stories of Ishmael versus Isaac. And then not too long later, Esau versus Jacob. Rights of the firstborn versus the seed of the promise in all three cases. And so the enemy can achieve the rights of the firstborn, but they have never been able and never will be able to achieve the seed of the promise. That is your inner temple, your inner sanctum, the seed, your begotten one. The seed is in you already. Even if you're not born again yet, the seed is in you. It's like having a seed in a seed packet. Let's say you order a packet and you only get one seed in that packet because it's all what you want to plant that veggie or whatever it is you're going to plant. You get one seed in that packet. That packet is your body, your DNA, and inside that is that seed of the promise. But when you become born again in through Christ Jesus, that seed gets planted and it comes to life. It germinates and it eventually peeks its little head out of the soil for the whole world to see. The right conditions, the right sunlight, water, nutrients, that seed will grow into a great, whatever it is to grow into you. What Jesus intended you to be, because he is the author and finisher of your faith and the author of your eternal salvation and the author of your eternal destiny as it was originally founded in and through him. So right now, we're still in seed form, even though and we're still kind of in a seed form. We're not yet fully manifested. There's evidences here and there. If you're a Christian, acquiring the mind of Christ, walking faithfully, you know, with Christ, there's evidences, okay? It's like that little seed popping its head above the soil. There's some evidence there, but it's not yet a full-fledged plant, is it? Bearing its own fruit, okay? So some of us got a ways to go yet before we're a full-fledged plant bearing our own fruit. And maybe some of us, it'll be when we pass on to glory when that happens. Some, it might be here on this side of glory, okay? Because some of us grow faster, some slower. I'm a late bloomer, so I kind of grow slow. But when I grab hold of something, you know, then I can run with it. But sometimes I need to be spoon-fed for a while until I kind of grab hold of it, then I can run with it. Okay, so the seed of the promise, your begotten one, the seed of the promise of the 12-stone covenant is in you, in your 12-stranded DNA, of which 10 strands had been shut off, lie dormant, and of the two remaining strands, 8% is active, with 92% dormant that we know about. So imagine Adam and Eve, even in their fallen state, what they could have accomplished all on their own. So why did the serpent, to achieve the rights of the firstborn, to rule over the planet, to achieve the dominion that God had instructed Adam and Eve to have, the serpent and the serpent race has stolen it from us ever since, that dominion. But Jesus came to give it back to you, to give it back to me, to give back your dominion. Not the serpent seed, but you, as a child of the 12-stone covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did the watches come down? Their motive was, now that mankind was in a fallen state due to what the serpent did, okay, now they're coming in because now mankind's eyes have been opened from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, opened into for that which is forbidden. Now, why did God forbid things? Don't you think God understood, like, for example, this book that I mentioned that's got actual formulas in the back pages of that book? Okay, has actual formulas to summon forth and banish fallen angels and demons, etc., fallen entities. Don't you think God has certain understandings and abilities to do things that he doesn't necessarily want his children to know about? That's his business, just like when children in the natural realm and our mothers and fathers are taking care of things, right? And we say, well, why this, why that? We run up to them. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? Well, they could maybe explain why, but it would be over our heads of understanding. We still wouldn't understand if they explained every single nut and bolt of why they came to that decision. Well, you just wouldn't understand as little children. It will take some years down the road yet before we could understand. So one reason God doesn't, because we have to come to a certain level of maturity before we're going to understand what he wants us to know about. But Adam and Eve at that high level of understanding, yet there are things that only the Father knows about. It's the Father's business. Don't try to stick in your nose in every single detail of the Father's business. Are you going to get your nose slapped? Okay. It's going to stick your nose where it doesn't belong. Even in the natural realm. Don't we understand that? Okay. There's just some things that's God's sovereign dealings, his sovereign territory, his sovereign understandings of things. And the only way you're ever going to know that and understand it and operate in that is if he fully trusts you, if you've been faithful in learning and maturing and controlling your thoughts, to self-control, right? Self-control. Creation is a big expanse, and then that's creation. What exists outside of creation may be even bigger than creation itself. So you think God's going to turn you loose, okay, to rule and reign over something you don't know anything about? Look what a failure we've made of ourselves here, of mankind on our planet today and all kinds of things. What a failure. Even though when we know there are solutions that will work, we still don't do it. Even our personal lives, we might know what we should be doing, but we don't do it because we don't feel like it, or we don't want to do it, or it's just too hard, too difficult, you know. Okay, do you think God's going to turn you loose? No, he's not. Especially in those hidden areas that he himself holds dear, at the core of his heart, the core of his soul, of his spirit. Do you think he's going to allow you to enter into that core in if there's anything that's defiled in your life? He's going to give you entrance to his inner core? I don't think so. Only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. Remember? Okay, only the high priest. And that's only if the high priest wore sacred garments and went through the sacred ceremonies to cleanse himself and the whole operation before entering. If anything were to be amiss, I would venture to say that high priest would be struck dead before he even crossed into the Holy of Holies. He'd be struck dead. This is the pureness of God. Will remain undefiled. And if you think you can run things better than he can, if you got any kind of idea or notion counter, he'll show you his mercy, but not within his inner core. Are you getting me, folks? Let's look at it in the natural realm. You've got somebody you fell in love with, okay? And the more you fall in love with them, the more you open up yourself to that person, right? The more of your inner person, even your inner core, for some people, they open up their inner core to that other loved one. And then they get stabbed in the back, cheated on, defiled. And that door to the inner core shuts. For some people, it's like slam shut. That's it. You're never getting in again. Even anybody else will never get into that inner core of me ever again. And unfortunately for some people, not even Jesus. They won't even let Jesus in there to enter in and help them heal up and clean up and get work through their salvation and get out of that that, and to maybe one day once again, if not their inner core, at least their outer core to open up with the love of Jesus once again. Okay. So if we can understand the natural realm, think how much more it is from God's perspective. Okay. Okay. So even today, evidences of technology that existed. So even today, we cannot build anything comparable to the ancient monolithic structures like the pyramids and temples scattered throughout the world. Some of them located underwater on the continental shelves, areas that were dry land during the last ice age when the sea levels were lower. We don't know how the ancients quarried, lifted, transported these enormous stones and put them together with extreme mathematical precision. In addition, scientists are just beginning to discover that these ancient monuments are more than just physical structures. They are technological instruments that not only line up with the stars, but are actual receivers and transmitters of a power whose very existence is denied by our more conventional scientists. That is absolutely true. In the book of Genesis, we read the account of the Tower of Babel in ancient Babylon. If he means ancient Babylon, as when Daniel and the three Hebrew children were there, that would be wrong. There's no evidence of a tower, in my opinion, Tower of Babel, that qualifies for Genesis 11, verse 6. And now this they do, and now anything within their imagination will be possible for them. Does it rise to that level of capability? I would suggest during the Empire of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar through Belshazzar, the answer would be no. And those that preceded them, no. And those that followed them, no. So it had to have been something farther back in history than 6,000 years, when supposedly Adam and Eve were created at 4004 BC. And I'll be tackling that one coming up in a future show. Okay, the Tower of Babel, ancient Babylon, which was headquarters for the world's first one world government, one world economic system, and one world religion. Bingo. The name Babel refers to the ancient city of Babylon. Again, you know, was there during Nimrod's time, going back many thousands of years before during Nimrod's time, was there, who knows, right? We know about the Empire of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar through Belshazzar, but was there a former kingdom of Babylon thousands of years before that? Okay, I want to plant that question in your minds. Was there a Babylon that existed thousands of years, just like Egypt? Egypt wants to claim that the ancient Egyptians built the pyramids. Did they? Okay. Or maybe they did, but maybe going back many thousands of years before, when the Egyptians were known by another name, built those pyramids. The name Babel refers to an ancient city of Babylon, which is translated from Akkadian and means, catch this, gate of the god. We have a huge bingo right there. Gate of the god. Stargate. Technology, folks. Does that sound like a primitive society, folks, to achieve Stargate technology? Do you think the Empire of Babylon, from Nebuchadnezzar to Belshazzar, had Stargate technology? I don't see any evidence of it, but if you do, please bring it to my attention so I can rectify myself. The Tower of Babel was built by Nimrod, who some scholars believe was a Nephilim. Bingo. A being resulting from the mating of fallen angels with human women. The Tower of Babel was both an architectural structure to worship the host of heaven and a technological stargate, which could open a portal for the passage of interdimensional beings. I realize that this concept has a potential being instantly rejected as nonsense by individuals who have done zero research on the subject, for the idea is completely out of their frame of reference, and therefore it would be the subject of ridicule. If we go back to Aldous Huxley's Brave New World and the scientific elite proposed by H.G. Wells and others who have taken this idea from Plato, who apparently was inspired by the legend of the 10 god kings of Atlantis, it becomes obvious that knowledge in our society and world is given to people based on a hierarchical structure, such as indicated by the Illuminati symbol of a pyramid on the back of the U.S. dollar. The pyramid is an occult hierarchical organizational flowchart. Towards the top of the pyramid, we have the illumined ones who have been given this secret knowledge of Mystery Babylon and are the scientific elite. At the bottom of the pyramid, you have the inferior masses born to serve as slaves to these god kings. The same organizational system was implemented in ancient Egypt, where Pharaoh was considered a god king with a right to rule the peasants who served him by building the pyramids. So I do not believe for one second that the Pharaoh, any of the pharaohs of what we know of ancient Egypt, built the Great Pyramids. I believe it was thousands of years prior to that. The source of knowledge from all occult secret societies throughout the ages, such as priesthoods and mystery cults of ancient Egypt, Greece, Rome, and the Rosicrucians, Illuminati, and many other groups, flows directly from the mystery religions of ancient Babylon. From the standpoint of Bible prophecy in the last days, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, will rise again in the form of a global religious system and global economic system. That's a huge bingo. Since ancient Babylon and the Tower of Babel, built by a genetic Nephilim or God King Nimrod, the world has been secretly and increasingly controlled by secret societies that have access to this secret occult knowledge, technology, and science. For example, a collection of secret occult societies such as Thule, Vril, the Golden Dawn, and OTO put Adolf Hitler into power. The occult societies trained Adolf Hitler in the science of mind control and taught him how to put the masses in a hypnotic state when he gave speeches. These secret elites, and it's not just Hitler, folks, it's, pick your dictator, right? The occult societies trained Adolf Hitler in the science of mind control and taught him how to put the masses in a hypnotic state when he gave speeches. Think of President Bush after 9/11. Go back to your business as usual. Mind controlling the masses. They hate us for our freedoms. He accused those 19 Arab hijackers, implying that the Arabs, all the Muslims throughout the world, hate us Americans because of our freedoms, because they live in tyranny. Don't you think President Bush knew how to mind control the masses? Don't you think that when he was saying that the priests and high priests of the dark side, the dark elite, the synagogue of Satan, were doing their chantings and spell castings and spell bindings upon the masses? Bingo. These secret elites also taught him about the science of eugenics and how to breed a master race. Who today, what group today believes that they are the master race? Okay, bingo. The Third Reich was years ahead of the United States when it came to rocket technology and mind control technology. Some believe that German rocket scientists like Wilhelm von Braun were given engineering blueprints for UFOs and other technologies, which were telepathically received by the Vril Yah maidens, who were clairvoyants as far back as 1926. Bingo, bingo, bingo. The scientific elite who rule our world are in possession of highly advanced scientific technologies and knowledge, and they fully understand the supernatural nature of this information and know of its origin in ancient Babylon. However, in order to maintain their power and control over the masses, they deliberately hide the existence of their advanced technology in plain sight by using scientific mind control, education, indoctrination, social engineering, genetics, food, and drugs to contrast an impenetrable wall in human consciousness that prevents the masses and even some presidents, prime ministers, business tycoons, scientists, educators, government officials, celebrities, artists, media personalities, and psychologists from even beginning to suspect its existence. This higher level knowledge is distributed selectively and in a highly compartmentalized manner so that even so-called upper level people, such as presidents, senators, scientists, educators, heads of multinational corporations, cultural leaders, and psychologists, only have a tiny compartment of information. Basically, all of this so-called elite in our society, which is different than the secret elite, have been programmed through the educational process, media, and other means into accepting a strictly humanist and existentialist belief system. In this programmed belief system, all of the leaders of our society do not and cannot believe in the existence of either a God or the supernatural. A neurological firewall has been erected in their consciousness that blocks them from understanding the reality of a supernatural universe. Through modern education, media, scientific mind control, food additives, drugs, scientific suppression of the right brain, which begins in grade school, people have been dumbed down and neurologically wired not to think outside the box, to be compliant, and to deny the existence of God and the supernatural. Oh, that's so many bingos right there. Modern education and society are designed to produce left brain dominant thinking. This is why teachers now teach to the test, and the emphasis has always been on rewarding the people who unquestionably repeat back whatever the official dogma is. Right brain thinkers are punished because right brain thinkers question the system, think independently, see the big picture, and can access creativity, inspiration, and spirituality. They are not easily programmed. Neither am I. Think of the average person's brain about the size of a small home office with a 10-foot high ceiling. Then think of the interior of this office as their conscious and their ability to think or imagine. Thoughts come from neurological pathways in both the left and right brains. And whenever you think about something, are exposed to something, or study something, your brain creates a neurological pathway. If since childhood all of your neurological pathways have been strategically engineered in the left brain and only in selective subjects of thought, your brain has literally been wired not to think about certain ideas. And because the limited number of neurological pathways that have been built into your right brain, it now becomes impossible for you to think outside the box, the office that the scientific elite have created. Compounding this is Orwellian groupthink. If you were to dare and bring up an out-of-the-box subject, you would be ridiculed by your peers and coworkers, maybe even demoted, fired, or eliminated from the equation. Okay, that was my two cents right there. Now think about the smaller percentage of individuals who, for whatever reason, begin to learn how to use their right brain at a young age and think about all kinds of subjects that others were programmed not to. That would be me, folks, and I hope and pray you who listen to this program are also that can think outside the box and not easily programmed or programmable at all. You are your own person in and through Christ Jesus and covered by his blood, and his blood runs through your arteries and veins. Okay. If we think of that right brain person's mind as an office, it would be an enormous office with no walls or ceiling. That person's brain and their consciousness are simply unlimited, and they are capable of accessing and discovering both the existence of God and a supernatural universe. The very existence of such people represents a significant challenge to the scientific dictatorship. Fortunately, it's precisely due to the fact that we live in a supernatural universe created by an infinite personal God that, despite all the occult brain engineering, if any person begins to think about right brain subjects, no matter how difficult at first, their brain will actually construct brand new neurological pathways in the right brain. And the more they think about these things, the more pathways they develop. It is actually possible to transcend your programming if you choose. Transcend your left brain programming, okay? Aldous Huxley coined the term concentration camps of the mind. The time is coming quickly when, due to computer brain interfaces, genetics, and the implantation of a microchip or nanochip implant, it will be impossible to escape the concentration camp of the mind. But you live in that brief window of time before that happens, and the moment you choose to transcend your programming is the moment you will start to become free. Think about that. Now, remember, folks, written back in February 2014, we're now 10 years past 10 years later, are we not? So that was an amazing article that you wrote. And it's like, wow, you know, it's hitting them, except for when, like, the Tower of Babel might have happened, you know, when he thinks, because that's traditional Christianity of when Tower of Babel happened. Okay. Everything else sounds 100% right on to me. Okay. And he was saying this, writing this 10 years ago. So now here we are, folks. When he said that at the end here, the time is coming quickly when, due to computer brain interfaces, genetics, and the implantation of a microchip or nanochip implant, it will be impossible to escape the concentration camp of the mind. We are now at that time, folks. 10 years ago, he was predicting that, and here it's here now. And for those people who have taken the COVID shot and live to tell about it, are still alive to tell about it, there may be some who totally survive it, either by God's cleansing it from their system, you know, a sovereign act of God, or if they're not covered by the blood of Jesus, or somebody's not praying for their intervention, they're left out there in the wild, so to speak, that the COVID shot, if they survive it, will set up this type of internal nanochip infrastructure that will blend in perfectly with the beast system, 5G networks, etc., 6G networks. China's rolling out 6G already over there. A complete net. So now we backtrack this understanding again from 10 years ago to this current Executive Order 14067 article I read. That'll bring everyone under complete subjection. And if you have any, even a thought, contrary to the official narrative, you will be dealt harshly with, even eliminated. If you take their chip, I would suggest even the COVID shot has the potential. I would suggest that the COVID vaccine did not achieve 100% of their goal. So they have to go back to some drawing boards and fine-tune the technology. And maybe that's what this rollout of the bird flu, with the bird flu vaccine, that they've already created the vaccine. Now, why would you create a vaccine for something that has maybe infected only 3 people here in the United States, it's such a low infection rate at the moment, unless they put the framework in place to amp it up. So you can inject part A into the population that basically remains dormant, inactive until part B is introduced, and then A plus B or B onto A then activates the intended objective. If you follow what I'm saying, folks. So even though bird flu has not caught on to humans big time yet, that's what they're hoping and planning on to present their vaccination. And believe me, if it does come to that, they will mandate it. There'll be no way out of being vaccinated from the bird flu. I'm not. I don't care what their mandates are. I don't care if they put 2 taps in my head or cut my head off or torture me to death. I ain't taking their crap. And if they want to cross that threshold, it'll be no more Mr. Nice Lord. Okay. It's like Jesus. A lot of people mistakenly think Jesus was this really super nice guy, a mamsy, pamsy, wimpy Jesus guy, a girly man, never hurt anybody, never say an unkind word to anybody. He's just a little wimpy man. Read the gospel accounts again thoroughly. When it came to that temple, okay, fashioned a whip. This wasn't just an ordinary whip. This was a whip that would be not the same whip, but the Romans took notice and they fashioned an even worse whip to whip Jesus with. So he fashioned a whip, this kind of whip that can remove skin from your body. It was not a nice whip. And he went in and he cleansed the temple, turned over the tables, scattered everything, chased the money changers out of the temple with that whip. No more Mr. Nice Jesus. And a number of other things. Jesus was a man's man. And when it came to his father's temple, that's when it crossed the line for him. And Abraham, go back to Abraham. He was a nice guy. When he was going out there to, he was aware of nations around about, you know, he was an ignoramus heading out into Nowheresville. He had some idea where he's going. He had some ideas, an educated man of the kingdoms around, you know, and the various kings, various types of people, but he knew he was going into their turf, their territory, their kingships, their lands, and he had to be a good guy. He couldn't be spouting off or throwing attitudes or insulting the various kings, or he wouldn't be around very long, right? He was a diplomat. He understood. But remember the story when those five kings came through and took Lot, his family and possessions and everything, and held them hostage, took them away, right? Hauled them all away. These were five kings with the five fiercest armies in that area of the world. These were feared, greatly feared. These were armies that showed absolutely no mercy at all. Don't care who you are, what you are, what your excuse is, they slaughter everybody with equal slaughterability, with extreme pleasure. Okay? Hold nothing back. To slaughter everybody. These were vicious. These were powerful five armies. And Abraham gathered up 300 plus of his men, you know. And obviously they must have had some kind of background in techniques, tactics, going up against the five biggest, baddest, best, well-equipped armies in the whole region. Are you joking me? Are you living a suicidal death wish, Abraham? But he beat them all. He beat the pants off of them. No more Mr. Nice, Abraham. You want to lock horns, do sign. This was with his nephew. It's like, well, so what, nephew? You know, you chose Sodom and Gomorrah to live down there in that pathetic anti-God environment. You got what you deserved. I ain't going to spend one nickel on trying to save you. That wasn't Abraham's attitude, was it? He's going to go take care of business on behalf of his family. Okay. What do you think God's going to do when it comes to that time? He's going to take care of business on behalf of his family. Okay, folks, I'm done. 4 hours. Yeah, I didn't think I had anything to talk about tonight. 4 hours go by. Oh, no. So, Diana, you probably have to split this one up into three shows, maybe.
All right. It's amazing all the things that have been brought out here, Lauren. I mean, all we can say is this fallen world is in a mess, and they don't have the answers. Ah, but God, right? As Proverbs 2, I think it's verse 6, says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." And everything that you pointed out tonight, it points towards God being our only hope. Let's take this before the Lord. If you would go ahead and close our time, you know, together in prayer, please. And then we'll continue this next time. Thank you so much. A lot of things covered here tonight.
Heavenly Father, we just, again, thank you that we can come together in this format that can reach people all over the planet even. And we just invite you. We invited you to, in the start of the show, even before the show, we invited you to be with us tonight. And we ask that you continue to be with those who listen to this in podcasts and well into the future, as long as, you know, we're all here and people can listen to podcasts. We certainly ask for your anointing and clarification on these difficult subjects, because they're difficult because oftentimes we've been taught wrong. And again, not necessarily taught wrong deliberately in all cases, But as in the book of Daniel, at the end of the book of Daniel, that a lot of this information was meant to be sealed up, to knowing about it, the wisdom behind it, till the last days. And here we are. We're now here at the last days, and now these mysteries, even embedded in your word, even extended into the mystery religions and all the occult and everything, these mysteries are now coming to the forefront. You're allowing this knowledge for a time such as this because you don't want your people to perish for lack of knowledge. Because you love your people and you love the lost. You love the lost so much that you delayed your final judgment from at the end of verse 2. Instead of day 1 being let there be light, you could say let there be final judgment. That would have been it. But because of your love, you delayed your final judgment. And because of your love, you sent your son into the lion's den, into this sequestered zone, this fallen realm, into this fallen planet, this demon-infested rock, into this realm where there's no escape, no way out, in order to provide us with a way out through your son. You put it all on the table, Heavenly Father. You risked all of creation. You put on the table your word, yourself, your throne room, all eternity. You put it on the table to win us back. And so we pray that you'll pour out your spirit in these last days with a mighty outpouring like never before, that even people who've never heard of Jesus Christ, don't know anything about him, Lord Jesus, we ask you, we release you to go forth in personal visitations and dreams and visions throughout all the peoples in all the lands, that there be a great awakening, a great harvest of souls. In spite of what the evil side is doing and attempting to do, and for the sake of those that are lost and yet to be found, that you would delay if possible. We can't possibly know things from your perspective. But if it is yet possible, Heavenly Father, to delay the inevitable for yet another season for the sole objective of more souls to come into your kingdom. So we ask, Heavenly Father, according to your will, that your spirit be poured out upon all flesh like never before, the latter day rains, a great awakening, a great harvest of souls throughout all the lands, all the peoples, all the skin colors. For a great unison, a great unity in and through your spirit, through the blood purchase of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right. God bless everyone. Until next time.